This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
One of the issues out there that we have been talking about a little bit, I'm not going to talk about Doge much today, but there's a lot going on, a lot of lawsuits going on there, and there's a lot of lawsuits going on in one other area as well, and that's in the area of immigration. I spoke about immigration yesterday, about how other industrialized nations around the world are having similar concerns that we are here. They're taking the same remedial actions that we are here. And it's amazing how closely related all of this is as to their approach, our approach, what they're seeing within the culture of their country, the culture of this country, what they're seeing economically inside the borders and what we're seeing inside the borders here, and our willingness to spend, and but our unwillingness to continue to do so. So how do we retreat? What is the best way? That seems to be the argument of the day as to all of this, as we begin to find out what the federal government has actually been financing for all these years. I don't know about you, I've been scratching my head so much my hair has fallen out of my head. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. That I just can't imagine people getting together in a room and saying, yeah, that's a great idea. We should fund that program. We should take citizens' taxpayer dollars and send it to these little nondescript countries around the world and engage in whatever. And that's a good idea. And when you begin to try and figure out, well, what U.S. interest do we have there? What do we get in return? And what does it do for us? Or is this just pure gratuity? But if there's no pure gratuity with our own citizens, so why do we have this landscape that we've developed over the years abroad? Well, one of the lawsuits that's been filed, I was reading an article in the National Catholic Reporter. U.S. bishops have filed a legal challenge to President Trump's refugee funding halt, and the sides have agreed to go to mediation. The settlement conference had been scheduled for February 27th at U.S. District Court in D.C. Representatives for both sides have been ordered to present settlement proposals and ideas for how the case can be resolved. The U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops say that the government has not reimbursed the conference approximately $13 million for resettlement expenses that it incurred prior to January 24th. However, additional unpaid expenses continue to accrue by millions of dollars a week, the bishop's attorneys wrote in a February 19th memorandum filed in support of their motion for a temporary restraining order. So the conference's Migration and Refugee Services Office, that's who actually handles this for the Catholic Church. A lot of times people ask me, well, why is there so many like Somalians ending up in Minnesota? Well, the reason is the Somalians were handled by the Catholic Church, the U.S. Catholic bishops, and they decided for whatever reason the Archdiocese or whatever, or the Catholic Charities organization in that area was going to handle Somalians. It's not that Somalians would pick that area of the country to live in because the weather there and other conditions are not anywhere similar to Somalia, right? But that's how they end up, because they steer that to whatever area of the country that they so desire. So at the time of this funding suspension, the bishops' conference said it had about 7,000 refugees that they were taking care of. Now, the Catholic Church is responsible for serving around 17% of the total number of refugees that have been resettled in the United States. They are the largest non-governmental refugee resettlement program in the U.S. So that number of 7,000 represents about 17% of the total. The conference and its sub-recipients, the people that they sub-work out to, are mostly Catholic Charities agencies that provide initial settlement services to these refugees during the first 90 days that they are in the United States. And if so when they had this interruption or this freeze on this spend, these are the folks that they filed this lawsuit on behalf of. They provide all kinds of things to folks that come here under the refugee program: shelter, food, medical care. They teach them how to speak English. There are job training courses that are provided and other services during their first days in the country, according to the memorandum filed by the U.S. Catholic bishops. Now, they're upset because already they've had to lay off about 50 staff members, more than half of the resettlement staff, and they'll likely need to lay off an additional number of employees if the funding suspension stays in effect past the February 18th date that has already passed. And so they're obviously looking at as to what other things are going to ultimately need to be cut. You know, it just occurs to me that when we think about this refugee resettlement program and all the services that we provide, once they go through this, they're actually handed off to other agencies that will continue to provide for them while they're in this country. I always look back to how we treat our own, you know, and how we're doing things. There's lawsuits right now about where illegal aliens can be arrested. No prohibition as it relates to a U.S. citizen. If you're a U.S. citizen, whether or not you've committed a felony and or a misdemeanor, you can be arrested anywhere within the territorial boundaries of the United States by any appropriate law enforcement agency. But when it comes to these folks, we are setting up a special class and special rules. Head scratcher, right? Shouldn't it be the other way around? That there are restrictions as to us and none as to them? Do we have this backwards? Right? Or maybe when you become of age, of majority, that you would get some of the services that we talk about here that are being provided to refugees. I don't know of a program where they give you temporary shelter, get to experience how it is to be living out there, food, medical care, hone your English speaking skills and English writing skills, job training, and whatever other services you need during your first days of majority. Is this backwards? Should we not look internally and figure out what we can do more for our own folks to be able to succeed? And maybe avert going on social welfare programs? Which for many of these, that's where the next stop is, right? Because in this preliminary period, this short period of time, they're not going to learn enough English. They're not going to be trained enough as it relates to job training. There's a whole host of things that they're not going to be able to do. the continuum of services will continue. We'll report back out once the court decides where they are going to be on this. But what you're seeing is the breadth and depth of NGOs and others that play in this sphere of government financing, federal government financing. And without the federal government financing, there's little of their own money that they're putting up here. These are actually pass-throughs. The federal government's financing it all. And they get to be the beneficiary of some of this administrative fees to manage this as well on top of it, the whole nine yards. And the whole thing goes away and crumbles and because there's no contribution given by a lot of these organizations. They just take money. They manage the money. They take an administrative fee on top, and then they move on about their business to the next grant. And that's the life cycle of many of these organizations that have been created and start out there. And for no other reason, I like this exercise because we're finding out who's doing what, when, why, and how. And it's the first time in a long time we get to evaluate, is this worth it for us? Is this truly worth it for us? And this is this exactly where we want to be and where we want to spend these dollars? Now, there's another little phenomenon that's going on that's very interesting. New York Mayor Eric Adams, he has announced that they're closing the Roosevelt Hotel to illegal aliens. And did you know this? It's being closed. It's a 1,000-room hotel. He opened the hotel to illegal aliens in May of 2023. The city has had over 232,000 illegals since 2022. Yes, you heard, almost a quarter of a million that they have been providing sustenance for since 2022, right? This hotel has been a disaster. It's been a breeding ground for gangs. I saw pictures of illegal delivery bikes all parked all over the place. You couldn't even go down the street most of the time, or the sidewalk, for that matter. But what's interesting here is they're able to close this hotel, this sanctuary city, because of the policies that they advocated for at the border. Really? How did that work? This guy's powerful. The sanctuary city, one of the most liberal approaches to the maintenance of illegal immigrants, and they're able to close the Roosevelt Hotel because of their efforts. They go on to say that now, thanks to our policies, we're down to just an average of 350 new arrivals each week. And while we're not done caring for those who came into our care, today marks another milestone in demonstrating the immense progress we have achieved in turning the corner on the unprecedented international humanitarian effort. They have skillfully managed the crisis. They have skillfully spent your taxpayer dollars, is what this should say. We have seen over 232,000 migrants into our city asking for shelter, and the Roosevelt Hotel has been key in allowing us to effectively manage our operation, processing almost 75% of the individuals that have come into our care through these doors. And now, thanks to our sound policy decisions of our team, we're able to announce the closure of the site and even help more asylum seekers take the next steps in their journeys while simultaneously saving taxpayer millions of dollars. Really? Absolutely incredible. The city had 69,000 illegal aliens in the system, in their system, that is, in January 2024. A year ago, it now has 45,000. No mention of the policies and actions of the Trump administration. No mention that border crossings have experienced about a 90% reduction. That was all handled from afar by Mayor Eric Adams out there in New York City. You campaign in poetry. Yes, he's campaigning right now. He's fighting for his life in the next election cycle. And you govern in prose. He can't even call this poetry. This is puffing. This is an imaginary thing that one of the most liberal sanctuary policies in the country, that their policies have now led to the reduction in the numbers that they have. I don't know how this guy says this with a straight face, but this is how it works when you're campaigning, I guess. I don't know that there's many people out there that believe it. Do you? We'll be right back.